Understanding commerce. Here is where we begin to address the express trust in action. As shown above, the trust may engage in all manner of trade and commerce, but before taking the step of doing so, the reader would greatly benefit the trust by understanding the nature of commerce in 21st century America. And for my brief explanation of the subtle intricacies involved, I will rely upon the two works by Lee Robstedt et al. I will not go into a detailed explanation of the Constitution or the history of commerce for want of space, but I would suggest that the reader read the works relied upon herein. When the trustee is engaging in trade or commerce in behalf of the trust, acting under general common law, the trust is within the jurisdiction over which the literal and absolute protections of the Bill of Rights extend, and he has no direct contact with the federal government. Under right of contract law protected by the federal constitution, the trustee may enter into the 14th Amendment jurisdiction via contract, that is, by willfully availing the trust of benefits like the quasi-corporate privilege, franchise of limited liability for the discharge of debts using Federal Reserve notes, pursuant to the economic system established under former House Joint Resolution 192. Contrast discharge with the payment of debts with standard gold-backed currency under the original Coinage Act of 1792. Under this jurisdiction, the federal government, Congress, has full and direct contract with the trust, as they see fit, for the benefit of public policy regulations, known as code statutes, of this jurisdiction. This makes the federal government a third-party intervener in the affairs of the trust by operation of law, because the trust, as with the 14th Amendment citizens, is being allowed to get away with not truly fulfilling its commercial contracts as is required under the common law of contracts. I will show how this can all be avoided, in a later section, the resulting nexus or confederacy developed under House Joint Resolution 192. Is an affiliation known better as an association? And the a common enterprise of this unincorporated society, is to offer all Americans a so-called a privilege in the form of what is better known as a quasi-contract, to participate in commerce without a payment of debts for a social security purposes. Moreover, this unincorporated society is outside the literal common law principle that demands the a payment of debts as stated in Article 1 Section 10, but is allowed, upheld and protected by Article 1 Section 10 that upholds the a obligation of contracts. This amounts to a federated unincorporated society by operation of law which is contractually protected by the Constitution, in the same way the express trust and its trustees are. And the trust and or trustee reserves the right to domicile themselves in. The union under Article 4 Section 3 Clause 1, and thus to contract under Article I Section 10 despite the fact that they cannot pay their debts. In other words, Congress cannot compel the trust or its trustees to participate in a federal interstate unincorporated banking association under Article 4 Section 3 Clause 2 and House Joint Resolution 192, for the non-payment of debts. The choice of law is up to each person still. Corporations are artificial creations of the state or federal government under physical charter, franchise, issued via state or federal civil law for commercial regulation under Article I Section 8 Clauses 1-3. They are not under the literal common law because of the charter, franchise. Any legal action against the corporation is legally called an a in rem action, because it is against the thing or property, also called res, of the corporation under charter. The courts have automatic subject matter jurisdiction, because the physical charter is the subject matter. Under the letter of the constitutional law there is no commercial regulation, but House Joint Resolution 192, along with 15 U.S.C. brought in a third party for commercial regulation for the Social Security public policy. Remember, a equity compels performance. The law views unincorporated associations as a danger to the substance of the common law, because of their debt-credit system. This is because there is no counterbalance to the demands the association puts on the substance of the earth, thus the reason for all the federal and state regulatory agencies. In other words, there is a presumption by implication in the civil law that a charter, a metaphysical slash abstract slash unreal type, exists, because persons are availing themselves, volunteering, of the privileges pertaining to House Joint Resolution 192. Therefore, these persons come under a quasi in rem jurisdiction of the civil law in order to regulate, control, including compel, those that are outside the literal common law principles. The many participants under this system, especially the 14th Amendment citizens from each state, together form an unincorporated federation of state associations operating under interstate commerce as addressed in Article 4, Subsection 3, Clause 2, and reinforced by the landmark Erie R. Company v. Tompkins decision. This is the basis for the federal and state government's compulsion of persons to its private international law, that is, the spirit, not the letter, of the common law mixed with public Roman civil law, under law of nations per Article I subsection 8 clause 3 and 10, and Article V clause 2, nowadays commonly known as codes and statutes, state or federal, to regulate everything as a matter of commerce. Without getting into the history of religion, and speaking purely from an analytical perspective, the Roman civil law, as a base model for commerce regulation, was developed out of necessity of the Church to avoid political scrutiny for its handling of ever-increasing amounts of precious metals. It had become a storehouse for the money and property the people were persuaded to give in exchange for limited liability ego directly to heaven instead of hell. As the people became more educated and saw what was really behind the power of religion, in generating wealth, the Roman Church fell under greater and greater criticism. This led to the development of a banking system to handle and control church wealth and take the critical focus away from the church. The bank learned from the church about limited liability. If you could get people to borrow money beyond their ability to pay back, you could get them to keep performing, paying interest in one form or another, on a debt, liability, without ever demanding it, the principal, back, thereby, loaning out that same credit to more than one individual or company. This meant that the bank was limiting the liability of the borrower so he was not fully responsible for the debt as long as he continued to perform to paying the interest. This way real money, gold, became credit, paper money, by loaning to more than one person. Being involved in this sort of commerce was called a private commerce. With the church's control over wealth, this private commerce became standard practice in world trade upon the sea, private international or admiralty. Maritime law became known as Roman civil law as it began to figure heavily in the politics of every city and country it touched through international commerce. By operation of this body of law, particularly its in rem element, all persons subject to its jurisdiction are not necessarily regarded as fictional vessels per se, but are more so as objects of the state, discussed earlier. These objects, like vessels in traditional admiralty practice, are vested with a distinct quasi-corporate, juridical personality, but, unlike vessels, are capable of suing and being sued in person. 14th Amendment citizens of the United States, whether state or federal chartered corporations or metaphysical chartered corporate colored public persons, therefore, are akin to public vessels of the United States within the broad meaning of the Public Vessels Act, and are regulated accordingly. The United States, as with the Roman Church, is considered in international law as a ship of state. The express trust, then, is akin to a private vessel of the United States of America, navigating through the often hostile waters called interstate commerce, which is international commerce via the United States treaties.